Do we have anybody in the waiting room?
Yes. There's two people.
Yeah, I'm gonna let them? Judy let them in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can let them in. Yeah.
Okay, you recognize these people, Judy? You can let
them. I do. I do. Okay. Yes.
All right.
At least one of them she does, I can tell you.
I better after. Saturday is 28 years, so yes. Okay.
All right, do we have everybody here? Who's
yes.
missing?
Yeah.
Oh, Valentina's here, okay. One, two, three, four. Okay. All right, so I believe we have a quorum, and so I'd like to call the September 2nd, 2020 council meeting to order. Please join me in a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, are there any amendments to the agenda?
So I think I understand. Sorry.
My fault.
I think I understood the EAC items coming off. Is that right? Putting on the
next
meeting?
Get to those in a moment. I think Nicole had one to add, and then I'm going to move a couple things off.
Just wanted to get a feel from council about doing something for Halloween in town. So I just wanted, before I have my recreation board meeting, to have a moment. Our rec board meeting's after next Tuesday, but if we're going to allow anything, then I just wanted to go into the meeting knowing that.
Okay. Why don't we put that in under the budget, after budget and finance? So that'll sort of be where rec board might be. Okay. Okay, so two items are going to be moved off the agenda this evening. The EAC discussion on trash haulers is being rescheduled for Tuesday. And the consideration, which is currently under the president's report, the consideration of the organizational assessment proposal from David Wadlam is also being rescheduled for Tuesday. Anything else? Okay, if not, public to be heard. No public to be heard. Okay, Mr. Mayor, your report.
Okay, I'd like to report on the fundraising event for September the 11th in recognition of first responders, sponsored by the Greater Newtown Republican Club on Friday, September the 11th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Pickering Field. Proceeds from the donations will be donated to the Shop with a Cop program that benefits disadvantaged children. The second reminder is the 5th annual Black and White Dinner, which will be held on State Street, sponsored by Newtown Theater, will take place Saturday, September the 12th, 2020, at 120 North State Street, which is a Newtown Theater, from 6 to 10 p.m. The road will be closed beginning at 3 o'clock between Jefferson and Green Street. Finally, I'd like someone to make a motion to approve the shofar blowing ceremony sponsored by Lubavitch of Bucks County to take place on Sunday, September the 20th, 2020 at Pickering Field from 5 to 5:30 p.m. and there will be no rain date.
I move to approve a shofar blowing ceremony sponsored by Lubavitch of Bucks County to take place on Sunday, September 20th, 2020 at Pickering Field from 5 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. No rain date.
A second.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Do we need to, I know they said it in their application, but do we need to stipulate that they follow the CDC and state and county regulations regarding the coronavirus, social distancing, masks, whatever?
Right. Well, we've done that on previous.
That was hard on other.
Okay. You're going to amend your motion that way, Nicole?
I guess I'm all right. I meant that in addition to the 6 feet distance that was in the proposal, that all other Bucks County social distancing qualifications be followed.
I'll second that. And just real quick, it's 6 feet between families. I just want to, because I know there it's probably going to be families there, so I just wanted to point that out.
Right. Okay, any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Council President, that's all I have. Thank you, Julia.
Okay, thank you. Under the President's report, I'm going to make a couple comments and then Tara can pick up with the report again next week. The first question is, does Borough wish to have the fall newsletter printed and mailed? We need to have a feel, because if we're going to get it out before Thanksgiving, that the deadline for articles to be received would be October 1st. The cost to put out the Borough newsletter is the same as it was last time, which is $250, which is the cost of postage. So I'm opening it up for discussion to find out whether we would like to have a fall newsletter this year.
I think it's a good thing for the community. I haven't heard anything to the negative from it, from any of the people that have received it, nor have I heard anything positive either. But I think the communication, I can say, is, you know, something, and for $250, I think it's a pretty good way for the community to stay involved.
And one thing, Judy, brought up, but we're not talking about it tonight, we'll probably talk about it on Tuesday. We could also put in the vacancies that might be coming up, because the way the new policy stands, we're not going to be automatically asking the people that are currently holding that position if they, you know, like, it's in essence going to be a vacancy. So obviously we'll email those people and, you know, hope that they're willing to volunteer again, but then also put it out in the universe. So we could do that too.
I think the newsletter is worthwhile.
I agree.
Okay. So it sounds like everyone is in favor. Judy, I think we need articles, right?
The more input, I guess, from each of the various councils, committees, and boards would be helpful. We always include MS4 information. Like Nicole said, if council likes, we can advertise the vacancies. What are some of the other ideas that we talked about? Well, definitely informing the public about the comprehensive plan surveys. That's probably number one. To inform people to participate, request their participation. And any other input from council is welcome.
I do have one question, Judy. I remember last time we thought there wasn't a restriction on format, essentially, or length of articles or number of articles. But I remember Susan Markey commenting that something she submitted got modified, cut off, something. So do we know for sure if there is a limit on article size?
It was never communicated to me.
Okay.
Yeah, that was surprising, Sue, actually.
Yeah, we should get some better clarification or commitment. You don't want it that it would be the more advertising they get, then they cut content to put more advertising in.
I definitely think that could be a factor. Yes.
Also, I think if they are needing to edit for length, that they need to run the edited version past the borough to make sure that it is okay. They aren't just sort of deciding what they're taking out.
Well, yes, and I will say in their defense, you know, they do send the final proof to us to approve, and Tara and I both, you know, did review that, but you know, neither one of us caught the fact that they did cut short a bit about, I think it might have been the spotted lantern fly information, perhaps, that they edited. Okay. So, yeah, we'll watch for that this time around for sure.
Okay, so it sounds like we're going for it and get our articles in, right?
Yeah, there's a place in the share file folder. I don't know if you've seen it, but yes, if anyone has anything, you want to email it to me to put in there, and that's where we basically keep everything that we plan to put into the newsletter, and then at any point, you all can go in there and see for yourself what's there, and if you think of anything you'd like to add, just let us know.
Okay, thank you, Judy. The next item is to make everyone aware that we do have a site to sign up for an email update. So this would be somewhere you could sign up, and then, for example, they're going to be sweeping the streets, that you would get an email that says, this is the schedule for sweeping the streets, so please move your car. That kind of direct communication. I think Judy is still working on the template for these emails. But that the ability to sign up is available.
And so that would essentially give people the information that's put on the banner, Judy? Is that what would happen?
Unfortunately not. I have to actually, yeah, I was hoping that it might be so simple, but it's not. So I just have to put in a separate entry.
But it would be similar information that would be going
out. It would. Yeah.
This is not like an alert saying, you know, there's a tornado coming or something like that. That's not the purpose of this. This is just updating you on information you might want to know as a borough resident.
Exactly.
Timely notification. Okay, the next item under the president's report is the Council Rock Newtown Athletic Association has put in a request to use Pickering Field for recreational sandlot baseball from September 15th through October 15th. And under their contract, whenever they would like to use the field outside of the normal season, they need to come to us and present that. And we did get the request for both the Sandlot and for the Fall Classic. You all probably saw the information, but I believe we have somebody here from the association who would like to speak on this.
Hi, that's me. I'm Paul Paul Jones. I'm the president of Newtown Little League. And we're requesting, this program was set up after COVID shut us down for our regular season. As a way to get the kids back active in the community. It's a very loose league. It's not like our normal league that we run at Pickering. The cost is only $25 per child. And the league is set up where there's no umpires, following Bucks County guidelines for COVID with masks and no umpires, like I said. It's limited to 12 to 13 players per team, and we are asking for two nights a week extra.
Tuesday and Thursday nights over the course of 4 weeks.
Right? Correct. Yes.
And then your second request is approval for the Classic Tournament, which would be on the two weekends in September.
Yes, that's what we've had for the past 10 plus years. We've ran that tournament.
Right. And then you had, but you have to come back to us each time to get approval for the dates. Right. Okay. Yep. Does anyone have any questions about this or wish to make a motion to approve?
So you're not using your regular weekend days right now, correct? Or
we don't have any regular weekend days in September.
Yeah. Oh.
I would make a motion. I'll make a motion to allow Council Rock Newtown Athletic Association to use Pickering Field for recreational sandlot baseball from September 15th through October 15th, 2020, Tuesday and Thursday nights, right?
Yes.
On Thursday nights, okay.
I second.
Okay. And the hours, I don't have the hours in front of me, Paul. What are the hours that you're going to be?
It started at 5, so we would say 4:30 to dusk.
4:30 to dusk, okay. Nicole, do you want to add that to your motion?
Oh, I was already unmuted. I will add to my motion the time of 4:30 until dusk on Tuesday and Thursdays.
Okay. And who has seconded it before?
I did. I resecond.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So are we trying to do a motion now for the Fall Classic also?
Yes.
So I guess to make sure we get ahead of time, could you tell me what the hours on that would be? It was weekend, Saturdays, Sundays, weekends, and hours?
It says like 8:30 to 5 on Saturday and 12:30 to 5 on Sunday. Is that correct, Paul?
Correct.
Okay. So it's for the weekends of September 12th and 13th and the 19th and the 20th, with the rain dates being the 26th to 27th. And October 3rd to 4th.
Correct.
Okay.
I move to give the Council Rock Newtown Athletic Association authority to hold their Fall Classic on dates September 12th and 13th, September 19th and 20th, with rain dates of September 26th, 27th, and October 3rd and October 4th. From the hours of 8:30 to 5 o'clock on Saturdays and 12:30 to 5 o'clock on Sundays.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
So the only thing I would say is during the Fall Classic, may have more of a crowd, you know, versus like just like one game. So I don't know if we should add, like, kind of just make sure it doesn't get into, like, big groups of people. I don't know. I don't know what the Fall Classic entails, if you can answer that for me.
It's on Saturdays, it's probably about 6 games starting, you know, at 9 or maybe 4 games. So there would be people coming and going.
Okay, but more like one team plays and then they leave and then another team plays, or is it a tournament?
It's a tournament, but they would play. We also use Veterans Field, so they would play one game in Pickering on Saturday, and then one in Veterans on Saturday, and then come back Sunday afternoon and play.
Okay, so you think in that both of those spaces, it's probably fine to social distance then, in that scenario.
That's the way it worked. All on the Saturdays in the past, in August, we did it in July and August with the Sandlot League. It's the same. It'll be the same schedule as we did there.
Okay.
Did you want to amend your motion to add a stipulation that the Bucks County Health Department regulations regarding social distancing are being followed?
I guess that would apply mainly to
the crowd.
Yeah, to spectators.
But
but we'll specify. I amend my motion to include that Bucks County social distancing guidelines should be followed.
And Sue.
Sue, I think you had seconded it. Do we second the amended motion?
I do. So I knocked everything over trying to unmute myself. Yes.
Okay. The only other comment I'd like to make before I call the vote is I did hear some complaint about people who were there watching the games in the summer idling their cars to keep the air conditioner running for people who happen to be sitting in the cars. And just to let you know that the borough has an ordinance against idling. So hopefully in the fall, the weather will be better, but if this is something that your participants can be made aware of, that if they are not driving their car should be turned off.
I'll include that in the instructions to the teams.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other comments? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, well, good luck with your games.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Okay, I also need to make an announcement with regard to the non-uniform, and police pension plans and the expected financial obligations for 2021. Based on the worksheets developed by Pat Hours of the 2021 minimum municipal obligation, which is the MMO for the non-uniform plan, is $10,549. And the figure for the police pension plan will be $38,978. Okay, and that concludes the president's report. Solicitor's report. Mike? Valentina?
We have only one thing to report this evening and to determine whether or not council wants to take some action on it. As you recall, just about 3 months ago, council adopted a resolution which allowed outdoor dining in the borough for those businesses that were not allowed to have indoor dining and wanted to be able to continue operating. The 90 days, we put a 90-day time limit on it, and that 90 days is set to expire next week. So if council wants to extend this deadline or extend this period of time, it will have to do so at next Tuesday's meeting. Otherwise, as of that Tuesday, outdoor dining will not be permitted within the borough.
Where do restaurants stand right now in terms of capacity? Is it 25% or 50%?
25.
And also, I believe today that HR 836 did get extended another 90 days as well from the governor, right? So we're still going to be restricted to that 25% for another 90 days.
Correct.
And I've talked with two restaurants, and I think both of them would feel that until the end of September would be a good time to allow it to proceed, because September is still a viable time frame for outdoor dining, but I'm not sure how things would go in October. But I think if we could, I think a 30-day extension would be advisable.
I did read today that the supply of outdoor heaters in the country is at an all-time low, that they are being snapped up. So you are probably right, Mr. Mayor. Going into October and November might be a little difficult if they don't get heat. So,
yeah.
I guess question to Judy, have there been any complaints at all in the office about?
I haven't heard any. I have not heard any. So I don't know if any of you guys have heard any.
No,
I have not.
Mike,
do we want to just move ahead, or I guess Julia?
I had a question for Mike. If we are extending this, does this just extends the deadline for current applications, or would the restaurants need to reapply to say they'd like to continue?
We can write it so those that have currently applied, it'll extend, and anyone new who wants to apply would still have to apply.
Okay.
And I think, as far as I know, everybody that has outdoor dining has already applied and has received that portion of things. So I don't think it's anything we have to worry about anybody new coming on. So I think the best thing to do would be just to extend the special event application to allow it to go into September 30th.
I do have one question, since we never know what'll happen with weather. Should we limit it to the end of September, or should we make it longer, understanding that when it gets cold, they're going to stop anyway?
Well, I would suggest that maybe you would want to do it for 45 days, because that will cover your October meeting. And if the weather is really good, and if the businesses come to you and say, we'd like a couple of more weeks, and we have been able to find some outdoor heaters, that they may want to extend it, and then you would be able to extend it at that point in time. So if you made it for 45 days, that would put you past your October meeting.
Very good.
Do we want to do it today? Do we need to wait till, or do we want to wait till Tuesday?
We can get the resolution, but you can do it today if you'd like, and then we can just get
that
the
gives
resolution.
Them more advanced notice instead of
yeah,
the last day.
I think that would be the best thing to do.
Does anyone want to make that motion?
I just hate saying things incorrectly, but I'll try. So I'd like to make a motion to extend the special event applications to accommodate outdoor dining an additional 45 days into the fall. I'd say dates.
Nope. You're 45 days from the expiration of the prior the prior 90 day. So
okay,
that's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all, and the restaurants will be happy.
And that that concludes our report for this evening.
Okay.
Do you have to say the executive session thing? No.
Oh, you're right. Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes. thank you. That's my bad. Prior to the meeting this evening, council held an executive session to discuss matters of potential litigation. Well, actually, litigation, excuse me, not potential litigation, matters of litigation.
Litigation. Okay. Budget and finance, Nicole and Marv.
I move to approve the professional services invoice for July 2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any questions, comments?
The only thing I was going to say is on one of the invoices, it's like just a little error that it has the wrong address. That doesn't matter, right? Like it has the right number, but then it had Liberty Street. And it only caught my eye because I was like, there's no such thing as South Liberty Street, but that's fine, right?
It just says like it was like 115 South Liberty?
Yeah, it was obvious that it was the wrong name. It's fine, right?
I wouldn't think that would be a problem.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. What do you think, Mike? I mean, the only place that'd be a problem was if it showed up wrong on a permit.
I don't even think the address is on, like, I don't even think there is such an address. So even if there was confusion,
there is no north or south for Liberty.
Right. That's why it caught my eye.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
We'll make that, we'll fix that.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it was not on yours. It was it was on the, oh my God, zoning.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Not? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Any comments from the Finance Committee on the budget discussion or the upcoming schedule?
Sure. So the budget schedules were sent out by Pat
between 2 days ago and yesterday. Each committee was sent a request to give their suggestions on budget. I actually don't have in front of me the dates, Marv. I don't know if you have the, do we have to announce that now?
I don't know, it's just reminders for, I guess, and any liaisons should have also received, been copied on the letters to their committees, and those budget items are due on September 18th. So that's the most pressing date. I believe then at the October, I'm not sure if it's work session or council meeting, the first draft budget will be presented to council.
The special budget work session is on the 22nd of October.
Okay, that one's, okay, it's the second one that's a council meeting. Okay, so
there's a preliminary review on the 13th, though. According to the schedule.
Yeah, I think there's two. And then we're, as our small committee, will be micro meeting as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the 13th, that was the next one. So the first presentation is at a regular council meeting, and then later there'll be the special budget council meeting.
Right. And then it gets presented at the November regular meeting, at which point we advertise it for public, for the public to view, and then we vote on it in December. Okay, very good. All right, Nicole, do you want to talk about the Halloween parade?
Yes. So the initial knee-jerk reaction, I believe, from the Recreation Board was to cancel because of everything happening around us. But I would like to get everyone else's opinion on if, you know, obviously the word parade's not the best word right now with everything we're dealing with. But since it is an outdoor activity, and it is something that we are able to, we're able to keep the numbers if we do a registration under control. I was just wondering if council would be open to getting some modified suggestions for a smaller event. And then if that's the case, then the Recreation Board's meeting on the Zoom meeting's on the 10th, and they'll start talking about that. And I know, obviously, with deadlines on events, I also wanted to make sure that if you weren't presented it until, like, I actually, that was kind of a my question, because if it's not presented to council at a meeting, because we have our meetings are kind of early this month or whatever, then, because we meet after our council meeting, how that would work. We're kind of outside the, obviously, the 60 days, 90 days, whatever.
Well, a number of events have come in.
Right.
In a short time, 90 days lately. Are you looking at something that's going to require closing streets and the police stop traffic? Are you looking at a real parade? Are you talking about maybe a virtual parade or?
Well, definitely, there's going to be a lot of ideas thrown around. Initially, it was a no contest, no gathering before, kind of like you show up, you are in your family pod, spaced out, and then maybe if you did parade, which again, I kind of want to stay away from that word just because, like, I always say, like, stroll or something. Like, I don't know, but because it's
promenade.
Not. Yeah, like some, but maybe we could, if we did close the street for that half hour, because that's all it takes about, that we could actually extend the sidewalks just like into the street just for that time so that there's more room for social distancing between the sidewalk and the street. So like you don't have groups of people. I mean, typically we don't really, it's a small parade. So we don't, it's not like, I know Canal-oween was canceled in Yardley. They get lots of people and it's kind of constant where this is it's a shorter thing. And, we're usually under that 250, you know, number for the gathering. We usually have about 100
parading and then probably about another 100 watching. We could even make the parading number smaller just in case. But really it's just throwing around ideas at this point because of the way everything is right now. I just personally, with the little kids, and since it's an outside event and you know, they're kind of constantly moving, going one direction, I feel like it could be done with masks and social distance. But if we were very anti it, as far as the council goes, then I would not be asking this, you know, I wouldn't be asking the recreation board to come up with anything. And then obviously anyone on the recreation board that doesn't feel comfortable, who is still, you know, being very careful and hasn't been, you know, do it, like, of course they would just not, you know, be part of the planning or whatever. So I don't know. I'm just trying to do something like for the kids.
Oh, and I've received a request from one person in regards to the window painting, you know, for Halloween, whether that should be something that we should authorize also. So I don't know whether that's brought up at the Park and Rec.
Nicole. I mean, well, that's usually Newtown Mercantile, right?
Yeah.
And I personally think that's probably the most socially distant you could get, because you're, you know, I mean, you might have to say only families can do a window if you're really, like, maybe a Girl Scout troop shouldn't be painting over top of each other, like maybe tweak it that way. But if they all have masks on while they're painting, you know, I, just because that's my opinion doesn't mean it's, you know, everyone's opinion. So
that's why I'm bringing it up now, since you're talking about Halloween, because that's not anything that we need to address from a special event standpoint. But since we're doing it,
right,
it would be best to at least get a feel from council about what their feeling is, you know, about both things.
Right. And then it freaks me out even more to even think about the actual Halloween, right? Like, it's on a Saturday this year. So, and part of me, I think part of the reason why a lot of work hasn't been done record wise is, you know, everything was canceled. Music in the park was canceled. Movies in the park were canceled because we didn't see where that could be socially distant with little kids. You know, that's just tough. But this, I don't know. I think there might be a way to do it, but I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking you could be looking at the venue, maybe not down State Street where the crowd might be more together, but maybe around Pickering Field or something like that. You might want to consider how you could spread the event out, but not eliminate it.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, yeah, it seems like Pickering is one of those places that, because baseball is using it, so we never really have events there except stargazing. So yeah, no, that's a really good idea. Like, right. So instead of shutting down the street and have people coming out of stores, it's more like people are there for that reason, you know, to see the little kids.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good idea. Then another thing that was just emailing back and forth was brought up, like, if you were worried about, like, who's in the family, like, we could have, like, everyone, like, holding a hula hoop so that, like, you're kind of walking with your family as you're going so that you can, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's going to be hard to keep, like, the real little ones together, but, and of course the big joke is, you know, the masks, like, you know, everyone could be robbers or whatever. make it part of your costume, but okay. All right, well, it sounds like we would maybe consider something modified if the rec board presents something.
So yeah. This would then actually be a special event application then, or I think we certainly should entertain such an application.
Again, it's just a sin because, like, stuff's just being canceled, right? So I just, and I understand we couldn't do music in the park. I mean, we didn't even bring it as an event because how are you going to have unknown amount of people coming, whatever, in the dark? So, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole.
Council
is so the Environmental Advisor Council.
Joey, may I just ask one thing? So council is not opposed to doing the window painting by Newtown Mercantile Group.
I am not opposed to that.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to get back to Linda DiFiore about that. Okay.
Yeah. If they can figure out a way to make sure that the groups are doing as much as they can to social distance, that's the important thing.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. All right. The next item on the agenda is the zoning and the e-code review. I'm actually going to ask Valentina to take over the first part of this. You all hopefully saw the most recent version of the ordinance amendment to regulate telecommunications facilities and mobile home parks that got put up today, and the memo that was sent around from Valentina explaining some portions of that. But I'm going to ask Valentina to explain what needs to be done, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So the telecommunications uses in the zoning ordinance needed to be rewritten. They were quite old, and actually most of it was permissible, but the phrasing, the citations, kind of the numbers it would cite, height of fences, height of antennas were older. So what we did is that we went in and we first of all renamed the uses themselves to more current phrases to describe them. So it delineates between non-tower and tower-based wireless communication facilities. That's the lingo that they use now. And beyond that, they delineate those two types of wireless facilities into those within the right-of-way and outside the right-of-way. So a lot of the specific regulations are the same. It's been reorganized and the phrasing, like I said, has been updated. And there have been a few things added, such as the time required for the borough to act on an application, the requirement for these facilities to co-locate, meaning that before they build something new, they'd have to prove to in their application that there isn't somewhere else that's already existing that they could go. So those things have been added. In terms of the zoning district, you'll see we sent out a memo earlier today. Because of the limited space in the borough, there's only so many places that non-residential uses can go. And this issue specifically is around a tower-based facility. And not that they would necessarily seek to create one of these facilities in the borough, but it kind of described that the area is limited. The zoning ordinance is proper. It places proper restrictions. It considers every aspect of the borough where these places can go. There shouldn't be any challenge to it. And it describes all the authority that the borough has in relation to these facilities. But nonetheless, it's important that council knows that areas in which tower-based facilities can go is extremely limited. But because we put safeguards into the ordinance that discuss co-location and non-tower facilities, they'd be much more likely to decide to co-locate an antenna on an existing facility as opposed to building something new. And in terms of the other part of these ordinances, of this ordinance that we just drafted, is about mobile homes. And we know that we were just moving the regulations from the zoning to the SALDO per general code's advice. And that's all.
So I assume that non-tower based means 5G.
Non-tower based is basically an antenna.
Okay. Is there anything a little bit off the topic, but the state laws that we're trying to change all the municipality rights related to putting in pretty much the 5G boxes? Is that pretty much stalled?
Right. Yeah. So there has been a Supreme Court, Pennsylvania Supreme Court case in terms of talking about certain operators being public utilities. Things like that, public utilities are outside the scope of the municipality's authority. However, the way we've written it, should anything change, we can definitely just add two definitions, add additional definitions, because like you said, there is a lot of case law and bills and stuff coming.
Thank you.
Any other questions regarding this ordinance amendment? So this is another one of these that is amending saldo and zoning. So it has to go through the process of going to both planning commissions and so on before the public hearing. Is that correct, Valentina?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I would like this actually to get started and so that we can advertise it for adoption at the November 10th meeting, which is the same meeting that we're hoping to adopt the other ordinance of saldo and zoning ordinance amendment. If everyone feels comfortable setting that date and getting this started, we could make that motion now, or we could wait till Tuesday and make that motion.
So do we just need a motion right now to send it to the planning commissions, or?
It would be to advertise. And then it would start that process. That would send it to the planning commissions and so on, the same process.
My opinion would be is that this one is kind of safe to go to both at the same time if need be, or do you think that our Newtown Planning Commission would want to see it first?
This seems
safe to me to send to both at the same time is what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's my feeling too. I mean, really it's moving wording from one place to the other, and the other wording is making it more in compliance with changes in law and changes in technology, and there's no room for a conversation here. So would anyone like to make that motion?
I move to advertise the ordinance for telecommunications and mobile homes and to send the ordinance draft ordinances to the Newtown Planning Commission and Bucks County Planning Commission.
A second.
So this would be advertise it for adoption at the November 10th meeting?
Advertised for adoption at the November 10th meeting.
10th, yeah.
I second.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, great. All right. Now for the rest of the e-code update. Let me go into my share file or my share screen here. What's going on here? So I think it's fairly easy this time. The first chapter is the property maintenance chapter, which we actually adopted not that long ago, but the proposed change would just to state that for vacant and abandoned buildings or lots, that there needs to be an annual application for a license, but to take the fee out of the ordinance itself and keep it in the fee schedule, which is where it is. Any concerns about that one? Okay, chapter 11 or chapter 411 regulates our railroad station. Does anyone have concerns about deleting this chapter?
Nope.
Okay. if the railroad comes back, we can always put a chapter in again. Okay, chapter 418 is about a real estate registry. And actually, Judy, if you want to speak to what this refers to, and you recommended that we no longer receive this information by registered or certified mail, but we get it by first class mail. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. So, right. So whenever a property transfers, real estate agents and title companies and so on, they all understand that they need to, you know, they have to register the transfer of that property at the county, but they also have to notify us as the borough. And they do that, and they provide that documentation. I think this came up actually at our last meeting, that one of the key points that we look for on that registration, that they've checked off whether or not they are in the historic district, because we want to make sure that they know that if they are. But those are, they come in with a check for $10. That's what we charge. And they don't come in certified mail or registered mail. They just come in regular first class. So that was the one change that I had advised Julia to make. But that's the process.
Do we have any problem with people failing to do this?
No. I wouldn't say that there is a problem with it. You know how sometimes people, like if there's one of the persons on a deed passes away, and there might be like some of those, I don't know if you're familiar, but sometimes people can just for a dollar change the way that a title is recorded at the county. Mm-hmm. And so like, I might not necessarily see that, but I don't, that's really not, it's, I don't see that as a problem really. You know, they pay the county a dollar to take someone's name off of a deed. I don't know that we would want to go heavily enforcing that they pay us $10 to make that change. It's adhered to.
Okay.
Judy, the one question I had is the 2 days, two business days. That seems awfully tight. Is that okay? Not a problem?
It's taking longer than that. It takes longer than that. That's a good observation, Sue. It's not always received within 2 days.
So what do you think is a reasonable time? Is 5 business days enough, or do we need to make it even longer?
These are good questions, because it's not like we are really closely like enforcing that. But I think 5 business days is probably more reasonable, I think.
Well, if you're talking about actually getting it in the mail, and you don't know how long it's going to take these days.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing.
Well, actually, I have a question for our solicitor. And the question is this regulation about notifying the municipality, is that based on another law? Like, is it based on something at the state level, or is it based on something at the county level that we should make sure that we are saying the same thing?
So this is part of what is required at the county level. But I don't think any of the changes here, I think this, the changes you're proposing here fall within the discretion of the municipality and don't, are not in any way inconsistent with what the law is at the county level or what the guidelines are at the county level.
Okay, so we say that the it should be within 5 business days as opposed to 2 business days, that we're okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know, and again, this is the actual deed itself is recorded up at the county, and that's the official record of it. This is more sort of, you know, for our record, so we are aware of for something within the property file. So I don't think the difference between 2 days or 5 days is going to make any difference.
No. Oh, I seem to remember when this was passed, because I was on council at the time, that this changed the process. The process used to be that you recorded, I believe, with the borough first and then the county, and it got switched the other way, and that this was in response to that activity.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll change that to 5 business days. Everybody's good with that?
Yeah.
And everything else is okay? All right. All right. And then General Code, of course, keeps asking us what we want penalties to be. And the recommendation from Valentina is that the penalty should be the $600 civil penalty language that General Code has proposed. All right, now here's another council decision. We are not currently maintaining a rental property registry. And the question is, do we want to? And the first half of that question, I guess, would be to our solicitor. And that is there a benefit to retaining a registry if we aren't doing a rental property inspection program?
I think the benefit is somewhat lessened, but it will be aware of if you're not doing an inspection program, but still it would be a benefit to the borough to know which properties in the borough are being used as rental properties. So I think there is some benefit, although it is somewhat lessened since you're not doing an inspection program.
So,
and how long ago did the borough stop doing that? And was there a particular reason, or it just fell off the to-do list?
I think it fell off.
Yeah, when we were talking about like the VRBOs, and I feel like we were thinking that we did have some sort of list.
So I can tell you there is a list, but like, let's just say any one of you decided tomorrow that you're no longer going to live in your home and you're going to rent it out. You know, you may or may not contact the borough to inform us that you're now no longer an owner-occupied home.
I think that I think we should have something, just because we were considering the whole VRBO thing. And then that way, because I feel like we were saying, oh, well, they're on the rental list already, so that's good. Like, we have a contact if we get complaints or something.
Right. And look, I mean, I can show you guys, I have a listing. I just would never swear by it because right. I don't know how, when I know of something, I certainly update it. You know, we do have some landlords that are really good about submitting changes, but they're not all, not all communicating on a regular basis. Yeah.
Well, let's say someone buys a new house and they're purchasing it for a rental. I mean, is there any way that they can, tell a title company that's their intention? Or is there a way to, if you're buying, I don't know, even like a business on State Street, it's nice to know like who owns the building, who's renting. I don't know.
Sure.
Like,
when they're a contract. Yes, actually, so going back to our prior conversation about the deed registration, part of the deed registration does include a tenant registry. So if like, say, LaRue Apartments were to sell to a new owner, they would complete the tenant registry part. So we would get that, we would get the names and contact information of their tenants. But it's just not, like I say, I have information, it's just not foolproof.
Right. Well, I think we should keep this, and I see there are two levels. I think the first most important level is actually the list of what properties are rental properties. You know, and I think we should maybe work harder at keeping that, and then maybe somehow get VRBO and Airbnb and such things added into this, that, that such a property that is doing that needs to report that to the borough. Then the second part, I guess, of this is talking about that you have to keep up to date on the name of the person that is the tenant. Obviously, that's the thing that's very hard to keep up to date. I actually think the first part is the most important. Again, that just gives us an idea of, you know, what properties need to be observed as not being owner-occupied. Again, whether it's because of short-term rental or whatever.
So, Julia, is your thought on this that if we don't have anyone in charge of it, we're not doing it, what's the point of having it kind of thing?
Well, that was question number one, because last year when I asked Mike Italia and whether he was maintaining or whether he or Judy was maintaining the rental property list, and I got blank stares because we obviously hadn't been doing it for quite a while in terms of actively updating it. And so then the question, but then the follow-up question to that was, if we, what was recommended actually is that the borough look into some kind of rental property inspection program, because we were getting complaints from tenants that the landlords were not taking care of the properties.
Yeah,
and because we don't have that, we can't, basically we were powerless to go in and tell the landlord that they needed to make their building, they needed to fix the building. So that was, you know, that discussion.
Right, and then, I mean, I think that's important too, because of, I don't know, we had my short house as a rental. I mean, they check, doesn't the fire guy go make sure that there's like batteries in all the fire, or
yeah,
like
when you have that, yeah,
extinguisher somewhere,
right.
I mean, it's an extra step and it's a pain, but at the same time, I mean, it's the price of having a family in a house and making sure they're in a safe spot. I mean, I don't know what the cost of that is to the borough, if that's something that like I don't know how that even works.
Well, I think that if we decide to keep the registry, and it sounds like it makes sense to do it, at least if it's in our ordinance, we can then decide how we're going to maintain it. But if council is interested in looking into establishing a rental property inspection program, then we could be investigating how we would go about that, and if it's something that we want to do. And clearly there's a cost to that, but I would expect that the landlords would have to contribute for that.
Well, I think we could move forward with keeping the registry and the, you know, any inspection would be separate from this.
Yeah, that would be outside this whole ECO thing. So, okay, so do you want to keep the rental property registry then?
Yeah, and I'd like to enhance it in a way so that it would capture short-term rental also.
Okay, so I know that that Tara is working on the short-term rental topic,
but that's separate from a registry. You can still add that to the registry and then still work on regulations.
Yes, yeah, right. But until we add that, but we would update this chapter when we have what we want to do to update it to include short-term rentals. Right now, it doesn't. It doesn't specify. So we can look at that. Okay, so let's maintain the registry, and then the second question on that one is, if we're maintaining the registry, then the penalty for not reporting would be $1,000 a day summary offense language, or penalty for not complying with it, once we figure out what that is.
Okay. So, well, with that.
Okay. So my only thing is, should we loosen it up on whether they really, whether a landlord has to report, you know, a new tenant, you know, as opposed to the idea that it is and is continuing to be a rental unit.
And if they do they need to do it within 10 days, which seems pretty onerous?
Well, all right, let me take that question back and talk some more with our solicitor, and we can figure out what else needs to be done for this. I know in the old days, before Keystone, it was my understanding that this registry also helped the borough figure out who had to pay taxes. But now that's basically out of our hands and taken care of outside. And so the registry really doesn't do that for us anymore. Am I right, Judy?
Which taxes are you referring to?
Well, I was thinking like the earned income tax.
The 1%?
Yeah,
that's all great. Keystone gets that information from employers.
Right. Whereas in the old days, we used to get a tax bill based on us living in town and having to report it.
So there's still that occupation tax, but that information is gathered by the Castle Rock School District.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to this one. I'll put it on the list. If you looked at the schedule, in which I will put another revised one up shortly, in the E-code file, is that there are like some meetings in November, which are like catch-up meetings, you know, that come back to these questions that were raised going along. Like, so this would be one that would come back to look at again. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you think of any other questions on that one, just shoot me an email and I'll put it on the list. Okay. Chapter 440 is sex offenders. The recommendation is that this be deleted. Does anyone wish to keep it?
I'm assuming that the state pretty much handles this now with any sort of registries or rules. Is that correct?
This is definitely one of those areas that is preempted by the state. The registration of sex offenders or limiting the where in the borough they can live is all covered by the state, and actually probably, I'm going to say maybe as many as 10 years ago when everyone was passing where sex offenders could live within their municipalities, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania said it was illegal for any municipality to pass that. That was left to the state.
Think delete.
Okay. Hearing none, we will delete it. Okay. The next one is skateboards. That is a topic near and dear to my heart. Okay. So the only question on this one is the penalty for violating the ordinance that is not skating or using a skateboard where you're not permitted to. Penalty should be the $600 civil penalty language. Any questions?
So my reading is that the term they use is commercial district. So this only applies to whatever a commercial district is. So it's not residential, but is commercial district all of the business zoning, or is it a town center? We don't really use commercial district in our zoning, but that's what the term that this ordinance is.
Yeah, that's a good question, Marv. In fact, I meant to make a note on that one. So are we saying that this needs to be town center? I'm asking our solicitors.
It sounds as if you might want to look at this and determine exactly where you're trying to prohibit this activity. Because again, if there are terms in here that we don't have anywhere else in our code, then it would make it unenforceable. So we would need to align it with the terminology that we use in our zoning or in our SALDO.
Okay, so we'll have to go back and do some reading.
So I'm assuming at least town center or is what it, I mean, just to give Julia some general thoughts. What about their village center, the one say to North State and South State is called Village
Gateway.
Which are kind of semi-residential, but and then there are the business districts. I guess we're not. I guess South Lincoln Avenue on the one side is a business district. Is a business or manufacturing.
Right. So if we looked at B1, B2, B1, and B2, those would be the and the TC district. Those would be the five districts that have some commercial in them. So we'll have to take a look.
Yeah. And then the question is, do we want to eliminate some of those? Like, again, the manufacturing.
Right.
You know, just because there happens to be a manufacturing business among all the residential, does that really take skateboarding off of that one stretch of area? Okay, so just
okay. All right.
It sounds like town center. It sounds like town center for sure. And then how far do we extend from there?
Right. Okay.
I have a quick question. So this is under. It's set. Is this the same as the chapter 124? I'm getting confused. I'm sorry, I didn't look this up before the meeting. So this 447 skateboards.
Right. That is the numbering of the chapter now.
It might be
different if you go on the internet.
So do you think that this is going off? Okay, all right. So that. I understand. That makes sense because this was so because four it got changed to 416, I guess. So in here, basically, according to what we were reading here, it was changing the 300 to 600 to make it match for the civil penalty, which we've decided to do, right? And then
right.
The way it reads, they get one chance too. I just want to like. Like the police, like
right.
it's a first offense, a police officer will advise them that they're not in the right spot, whatever it ends up being. So I just want to put that out in the universe.
That's still there.
It basically talks about the areas where it's prohibited. And I mean, it looks like it's all of it. So,
well, that's what Marv was saying. He says we need to figure out, we need to write that differently.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So before Valentina and I try to figure out how to write this, are you all in agreement that we don't want people skateboarding on State Street between, let's say, Green and Penn? Which would be the TC district.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't. I mean, it's just not safe with people walking down sidewalks and cars.
Right. And in public parking lots and in the parks, are you all in agreement that we don't want skateboarding in those places either?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then the question becomes, how do we determine where those areas end and what would be true residential areas begins, because we don't want to prevent people from skateboarding in front of their houses.
Right. I agree. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what we can figure out. Okay. So the next chapter is, okay, solid waste. What I was going to talk about today, but the EAC people we're not going to be available for this meeting and want asked to have it put off for next meeting, was whether council is interested in looking into what might need to be done to have a single hauler for residential trash service versus our current plan. Now this came up in front of before council before, but then council has changed since then. And also circumstances have changed. For example, the last 4 or 5 months, we've had nonstop trash haulers in town because of COVID, or at least that's the excuse, that we have hauler after hauler after hauler coming on whatever day they feel like it. And so then the question becomes, are we interested now in looking at this question again? So I want to actually allow EAC members to participate in that discussion. So I'm going to, I don't want to get into any depth today, but think about it for Tuesday when we talk about it.
Okay, but I mean, the main thing that I just wanted to bring up now is that it specifically says it's unlawful to not complete on the assigned day unless authorized.
Correct.
So officially, they could have penalties for showing up on the next day repeatedly, as has been happening.
I know, but they were saying COVID.
Right. I mean, like, we could have made a lot of money. Yeah. Well, that's true. And I guess understanding from their point of view is that they're having, you know, their workers are out sick, or they're having to fill in other places. I don't exactly understand all the problems with COVID.
Yeah,
but
that was one of the excuses that was given, that they like had a full, you know, team.
Right.
That had to quarantine for 2 weeks because
right.
they work in such close quarters. So, I mean, obviously we have to look into it in the future if it keeps on happening. But at this time, I think I understand, maybe, I don't know.
Well, right, but then that makes us think about, okay, so if you have four haulers and each one of them is picking the every fourth trash can up, you know, then you have that many more people who are working to pick up trash on one street. And maybe that's kind of silly. Maybe we want one hauler that can pick up all the trash on that street, and then we don't have to worry about whether four different companies have their full complement of staff on any particular day.
Yeah, I have some thoughts, but we'll save it for Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Tuesday. Yeah. So anyway, I bring that one up just for you to think about now. In terms of how our ordinance is currently written, there is a section we need to remove because we are actually not permitted to charge a fee for registration for haulers. And we actually don't. So it would make sense to take that 455.7D out, because it doesn't apply anyway, and that the penalties would be the $1,000 a day summary offense language. Were there any other concerns about this chapter that we might want to think about?
I have a couple. They're quite trivial, but I think that we should only have limits where we need them, and I think there are a couple that don't make sense to me, at least. Under 455-5A4, it says that you can only put your containers out, they have to be within 5 feet of the street and have to be set out no earlier than 6 p.m. on the day before collection is scheduled. I'm not sure why we need to regulate that 6 p.m. No earlier than the day before the collection, I get, but people all down my street have them out before 6 p.m. and I just don't think we should have restrictions that we don't need. So,
well, what are you proposing?
I would leave out the time frame. It says that you're going to take them back in the day after. It doesn't say by 10 a.m. So I'm not sure why we specify no earlier than 6 p.m. the day before.
I think it's just so, like, it's not hot trash, like, sitting in the sun, maybe. I don't know. Because, like, most people's trash is, like, kind of tough. I don't know. I think they just wanted like close to nighttime, but I couldn't be wrong.
And I get that, except we're not following it and we're not enforcing it. So right. I'm not a big fan of that.
Not 12 hours before, 24 hours before pickup.
Or if we just left off the time, it says, and shall be set out no earlier than the day before a collection is scheduled.
Well, here's the thing, though, Sue. If we're not enforcing it because it hasn't been a problem. If you have a neighbor next door to you that every day is rolling out their trash at 8 a.m. the day before, that could be a problem. I mean, just because we're not getting, you know, current complaints about it, I think it's like everybody has an idea, but at least if there's something in there, and whatever, I don't care if it's 6 o'clock, but at least if there's something in there and you're having a problem for whatever reason, like, let's think about it as like someone taking up like a parking spot. Like, so they're pulling it out in front of their house and they're blocking parking. Well, now they could block their park from 8 a.m., like 24 hours. I don't know.
They could do it 48 because they can take it back at any time the next day, right? So I just, I'm not a believer in having laws we don't enforce. If it's in the law, we need to enforce it. And if it doesn't make sense, we need to change it.
But who's to say we wouldn't enforce it if it was a complaint? We only enforce laws that are
That's not right, Nicole. I don't agree with that at all. It's the law. So we either need to make it common sense and enforce it, or if it's not common sense, get it out of there. We can't just choose not to enforce the law randomly. If someone complains, then we do, and otherwise we don't.
Actually, Sue, it doesn't say remove them the next day. It's actually within the same day in 455-5.
Yeah, the same day the collection
is. Oh, you're right. It does say that, Marvin. You're absolutely right. Sorry. Yeah. It does. Yeah. But you can do it at, you know, 11 p.m., right? So it'd be out all day. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, I don't like having laws that we
even,
don't need to have.
So even if we had an official zone, like a code enforcement car that goes around like we have in North Wildwood, they still only react off of complaints.
I don't agree with that philosophy at all.
But I'm just saying that's just the way, because even if you have someone that can actually enforce it and has like a car set up for it, they, if you go around looking for stuff, then it can seem like targeting.
But I absolutely agree with that. But so are our complaints. We have a complaint down the street of a woman whose bush is out encroaching on the sidewalk. And it is. But I can find 100 others in town. So are we just going to target her and tell her she has to change hers? I don't think that's fair. And I don't think it's appropriate.
But who's going to go and look, like, I mean, I think it only, you can only be reacting if you don't have someone that's actually going around and looking for everything.
Well, and my point isn't, my point wasn't that we need to be draconian about enforcing them. My point was more that if we don't need to have that 6 p.m., then we should take it out, right? We shouldn't have a rule that's overly burdensome if we don't need it, right?
Although you could take it the next step and say, even if we just say the prior day, that we're still not enforcing if they put it out the day before.
Well, I think the thing is that one needs rules that people will follow. And if you don't have a rule, then people have nothing to know about whether they need to follow it or not, or whether they can just leave their trash cans out all week. So, let's go back and see what other municipalities are doing.
I just want to give an example real quick. So let's say you have a dog that's barking next door to you, mm-hmm. and they're barking before 7. That's against our ordinance, right? So you have to go over and complain to your neighbor and say, hey, listen, your dog is barking before 7. There's not going to be someone strolling around town seeing whose dog's barking before 7 a.m. So there's a lot of things like that, that the only way that can react is via complaint or hopefully talking, you know, in that case, talking to your neighbor. But if you have a neighbor that you keep on telling that their dog's barking before 7 and they're not reacting or doing anything about it, then we would get that complaint or the police would get that complaint. I'm just giving you an example of something that definitely happens all the time, and there would be zero way to enforce that by strolling around town. Okay. Sorry.
Again, I'm not suggesting we patrol around town. I'm not trying to make it harder.
No, okay. So I understand. So
I think the current I think the current wording is fine on the timing. Are there two other people that think it's fine?
I think it's fine.
I think it's okay.
The other one that I have a question about is
we can think about this a little bit more. Pardon? What was your other one?
Under approved containers, I'm just curious because it says containers for bag leaves and yard waste shall be made of biodegradable paper only. They're picked up by the trash hauler anyway, and lots of people, including me, put them in trash bags. Do we need to have that rule since we're not doing anything with leaves and yard waste anyway?
Well, the hauler will not take, if they notice it's yard waste, they should not be taking it in a regular bag.
I think that's the hauler's problem, not ours. I think actually that the wording there probably refers to specific yard waste days, which we don't have.
Right.
So I don't think, so if you're just putting it out on your regular trash day, I don't think that applies.
So perhaps what we ought to do is change that to say containers for bagged leaves and yard waste for a separate pickup or something like that. Is this
for dedicated yard waste pickup?
Right. When we had a dedicated yard waste pickup, because for dedicated yard waste, you can't pick it up in a plastic bag. It would have to be in paper. So I agree that it's confusing right now because a lot of the haulers aren't providing that. So if we decide when we talk about whether, you know, we talk about single haulers and so on next week, if we want to consider that we want haulers to all provide a yard waste pickup, then that will help with that particular item about whether it needs to be in a special container or not.
Right, and then also remember that if the board decides to be trash haulers, like when the guy from Whitetail came in, now you're the one that has to enforce that because it's rolled into your taxes. Like that's part of the problem of making hauling part of your
it can't be part of our taxes. It would have to be a separate fee, but we'll talk about that next week.
Right. Okay, you're saying the single hauler versus not actually, okay. All right.
Right. Okay, let's see, anything else under solid waste?
Not me.
Not you? Okay, good. Okay, special events. I had the chief take a look at this. He and I talked about what he needs in terms of notice and so on for approval of special events applications. He thought 90 days was longer than he needed, but 60 days was much more reasonable. So the suggestions were to edit or to change the 462.5-5 to requiring special events application 60 days before the event, and then all the language about that would be changed that way.
I would agree with that. Because I know there's been a lot of times with like music in the park, we don't even have the school schedule yet 90 days out. So it's hard for us for rec board to like pick a night. So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. And originally when this ordinance was first written, Chief Tony was concerned that he needed at least 90 days for staffing. But Chief Sabbath feels that 60 days is plenty. So we can reduce that, which will make life a lot easier for a lot of people. And in terms of the insurance requirement in 462-9, although our ordinance says $2 million in insurance, the application form actually only says $300,000. $300,000 seems like it was a much more reasonable amount. Anybody want to weigh in on that?
Well, only that we shouldn't decide automatically to change this because the application says 300,000. We should decide, we shouldn't decide out of the blue. We should get, information on what the amount should be and make both this and the application the same. But I wouldn't automatically say 300,000.
Right. I have a feeling what happened was the application got changed and nobody thought to look in the ordinance and make it changed as well. So,
or it was a typo. It was supposed to be 200,000 and they changed it to 3.
But I don't think so.
It seems like a lot. 2 million.
Well, I guess the this I guess would be a question for our insurance agent of what kind of insurance policy they would normally require. 300,000 sounds that just. I'm not saying it sounds like a nicer number. It sounds more familiar to me in terms of what's usually required for insuring an event. But I will run that past our insurance company to ask them. Any other concerns about this ordinance?
Only that, you know, again, maybe there was information that caused 300,000, but maybe the times have changed and maybe now there's a more appropriate number. So this is right. The perfect time to bring it up right. To date, according to what our insurance
right. Okay. All right. Also, Chief Sabbath had suggested that we might want to look into some kind of requirements for registering things like a pop-up protest or vigil or such as we've been seeing over the last few months. And our solicitor is still working on the appropriate language. Mostly, he wanted to have some kind of notice in case he needed to provide additional police coverage so the event would be safe for everyone. So we'll be coming back with that change once Valentina has come up with some good language. Any other questions about this particular chapter? Good. Next week, I'm in the process of putting things up for next week. There are two chapters we're going to be talking about next week. One is the streets and sidewalks chapter, and the other is the stormwater management chapter. They are both very long and very technical. And Michelle has made a lot of suggested changes to both. But what I will be doing is I'll be putting those up as soon as I get them together. And there will be just a few topics that council might want to consider, and that will direct how we address changing those ordinances. And that's all I have on the E-code for tonight. Okay. All right. Is there any old business?
I just have a question for Marvin about whether or not we have any direction on what to do with the comments for the comp plan. Should we just go ahead and forward those to folks?
I've put out feelers on that, and I had some preliminary talk with Mark, and there is a meeting between Mark, me, and Mike from Bucks County about that on Friday. So I will. And that should be plenty of time in terms of, because the next joint meeting between Bucks County and Newtown Planning Commissions isn't until the 14th because of Labor Day. So, but I've asked for advice on the way to get, so they already have what we came up with, but then the more editorial comments, I'm getting the feeling that people will be able to just send them in on their own, but let me tell you for sure on Friday.
Okay, thanks.
Any other old business? Any new business?
I'll call it new business, although it's been going on for a while. I've been the lead on the franchise renewal negotiations for the cable companies, and the Comcast franchise renewal is in a finalized stage per the law firm that was doing a joint agreement among a dozen plus municipalities. So all that information has been put into the share file for the next meeting, and there's a resolution involved, and that is being reviewed by Mike and colleagues. And so we'll be presenting that resolution for action at the next meeting.
I have one item as well, Julia. we're trying to figure out the streets program for 2021, obviously. We have about $7,000 less in liquid fuels funds. But Michelle and I, and probably Joe, will be going around next week since Bob obviously isn't going to be able to travel around yet. And I wanted to know if you know of any particular streets that you have concerns about that we need to make sure we look at.
Okay, so if anyone has any streets, they should send an email off to Sue.
Thanks.
Okay, well, as I remember, I'll look again. As I remember, we were kind of looking at whether that area of South Congress, kind of near Mercer, was getting close to being on the list, but I'll double check on the information I have.
Okay, I'll look too.
I had one item under new business. I don't know if you all saw the Green Regions grant application for this year. The latest round starts now and closes at the end of October. It's for a $10,000 grant with a $10,000 match, up to $10,000 match. I wanted to propose putting an application together to finance some of the work at the Bird in Hand, or I guess we should be calling it 112 Court Street Park. We did use some of the money before to help with the purchase price, but I wanted to put in another application to help with the landscaping. And unless anyone has any objection, I will start putting that application together and bring it to council next month.
Great.
I guess my only thought, kind of new business related, that because we've never mentioned it, we keep vacillating between Bird in Hand and 112 Court.
Right.
Should we start thinking about a name? Should we think about a name for our new park?
I think so. There was, you know, we're going to give it a name, and then it's going to be AKA Bird in Hand. You know. Right. That's definitely something we should be thinking about too. Okay. Any other new business? Okay. If not, public to be heard? No public. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.